Amen. Well, how we doing? I've got to make sure I have everything here. That was fun yesterday. A little different. I've been doing some different things, and I've had to adjust a little bit of my cooking here while we're doing this. If you were here yesterday, we talked about carbs and how we need to eat more carbs and have the starch-resistant carbs when you refrigerate them. Starch-resistant foods are so critically important for your bacteria and the flora and your intestines and everything, and helps prevent things like leaky gut syndrome and even celiac disease. So those chilled carbs are a good way to go. The one thing that I forgot to do yesterday, you know, I'm going through these baby steps. I didn't share with you any of the baby steps I was supposed to share with you yesterday. I mean, the time goes by so fast. And so I got three baby steps from yesterday I want to share with you. Baby step number one was simply prayer. And I'll tell you what, when I did my baby steps program, and I've got like 12 baby steps, and now we've extended it to really fine-lining many baby steps. But I wanted to put prayer in as one of the baby steps. And I'll tell you what, people, even in Venice, were telling me, oh, don't put prayer as one of the baby steps. I was like, really? And they were like, yeah, mainstream people, you know, you're out there in the public eye, you should not use prayer as a baby step. And I said, no. And I said, after I prayed about it, I said, that needs to be the first step. I had it at the last step, you know, the final step, prayer. And then after talking to people, I said, no. I'm putting it as the first step. And it works. I mean, every year I do something with prayer. And in fact, my biggest year was I did a year of praying for discernment. That was probably the most powerful year that God's ever done in my life, is praying for discernment. That's where you get godly wisdom and godly knowledge and everything. But pray for your health. Pray for making good choices. Pray for conviction, willpower, whatever it takes to get healthy. So prayer was my first baby step. My second baby step was actually water. And then my third baby step was exercise. Water, we definitely know that we got to eat a lot more water. And then my... drink. No, yeah, I had it right. Eat more water. I know y'all need to drink more water, but y'all need to eat more water. Okay, what foods have the highest water content of anything? Watermelon, celery, carrots. All those foods have the highest water content. Beans and rice and oats have one of the highest water contents of anything. People don't think about that, but see, we rehydrate them. And so it actually is technically one of the highest water contents of anything is your healthy carbs. And then, of course, you got to drink more water, too, but definitely got to eat more water. What foods have the lowest water content of anything? It's all your meat and cheese. Yeah, so definitely got to go with the water. And then exercise. You know, we've got to get some better exercise and quit being such couch potatoes. And exercise, the reason, and then after I started looking this and then I looked back at it, it was like, wow, prayer, eating more water, drinking more water, and exercise, every one of those is free. You don't have to spend money on any one of those. So that's a nice way to start, is to get those three fundamentals that really don't cost you anything. Okay, so baby steps 4, 5, and 6 is all about setting up your freezer for success, setting up your refrigerator for success, and setting up your cupboards for success. Now, yesterday, we did these healthy carbs here, and then I've got everything bagged up here. A lot of this was frozen, and we stacked this up, and this is what your freezer should look like. I got my potatoes down here. We'll use those here in a little bit. But all of these, I would have in my freezer stacks of black beans, stacks of pinto beans, stacks of kidney beans, stacks of rice, stacks of quinoa, stacks of every one of these healthy carbs, and that way you can just grab a bag and go. Makes your life so much easier. I've got some red beans here, some bulgur wheat, we've got chickpeas, rice, This right here is actually kamut. Has anybody ever used that before? You got to get some. And you just boil it off for about 45 minutes, and it's good to go. And it's just got such a wonderful texture and flavor to it. And so let me set these aside for right now. But that's what you would do with your freezer to get your freezer set up. Yes, you have to have your kitchens designed for success. I better get some cooking going here. Well, look it. If everything in your kitchen is unhealthy and you bring home a carrot, how long is it going to be in the fridge? Maybe turns to rubber, you know, gets black mold all over it. Yeah. You'll put it in those drawers down below where good intentions go to die, right? Yeah, those little drawers, and you open it up to see if anything's alive, you know. There's probably some things growing in there, but not something you want to eat. And but yeah, you've got to have your kitchens designed for success. Let me get some things cooking here, though. I've got to get some, we're going to do a lot of things about flavor today, because I want to take all these healthy carbs and just simply show you how to get amazing flavor. You know, we're telling people to eat healthy. Everybody knows that they're supposed to eat healthy, but they're not eating healthy because they don't like the flavor. So I'm going to do some Irish potatoes. Now, simply Irish potatoes, if you're going to think Irish, what are you going to think of? Cabbage, exactly. So we're going to put some cabbage in here, and we'll get some water in here. And we'll get our Irish potatoes going. So I've got some water here. And right about there should do. Now, what other flavors would say Irish? Okay, salt, I guess, would be the probably one of the key ingredients here. And your other ingredients would be onion. So we can do some of the chives style like this and parsley. So I think that would probably be definitely what you need there. Now, I would even take it one step farther and add some of the onion powder in here, because that's a totally different flavor. So you're getting different flavors of onion. You can put a little garlic in there. I don't think you need to do much else to it, though. That's going to do for today. And let me give this a mix. We'll come back in a little bit once this starts heating up. Right here, we're going to make some jackfruit. How many of you have ever used jackfruit before? I've been using this for many years, and we're going to do a couple different things with this jackfruit over the next couple days, but I want to get this boiled off, and it really takes about 20-30 minutes to tenderize it, basically, is what you're doing. So we're going to get that baby boiling off on this one, so we got that going. Okay. So, by the way, somebody was mentioning earlier today about my brother who lives up in Kentucky, and they were asking me about him. My brother, I'm the youngest of six kids, okay? All my brothers and sisters are 300 to 400 pounds. I have two brothers over 400 pounds, and Paul was one of them. And my parents fed us the most unhealthy food you could ever think of. It was bacon and eggs every morning. Ooh, 2 points. Hamburger helper and ice cream and milk and chicken and meat and cheese. I mean, that's what we ate every day. My sister died at the age of 54 from cancer. Same age I am right now. I get to be 55 this year. Senior discounts coming up. And so I'm really thankful God showed me a better way to eat, because my family has a track record of being extremely unhealthy. Yeah, my mom died in her 60s with a brain tumor, cancer, and one thing after another. Anyway, my brother Paul, he had a cholesterol level of 1,000. Had a heart attack, went in the hospital. They put in a stent. Next morning for breakfast, they gave him bacon and eggs. 3 times they did that to him. And I finally said, that's it. I'm going to go visit him. Now, I put him on an all-vegan lifestyle for 3 weeks. And, oh, he looked horrible when I got there. And his cholesterol was at 900 when I got there. And 3 weeks later, with no statins whatsoever. His cholesterol went from 900 down to 300 and change. He started feeling better. He was getting color back in his skin. His eyes were clearing up. Just amazing. And he was like, wow, I can't believe this. And I had lost like about 50 pounds at the time. And now it's been 5 years for him. He's got his cholesterol down to 170, and he's lost over 100 pounds. Yeah, but what I did was I designed his kitchen for success. I actually made him throw out everything that was unhealthy, and we had trash bags full. Cheese and salami and pizzas and chips, and he was mad, me throwing it away, you know, because it was his hard-earned dollars. But he told me not too long ago when I talked to him that he was so thankful that he had to throw out his hard-earned dollars. It meant something really significant for him to do that. And after I threw all the stuff out, then I went shopping and filled up. I paid for it. You know, I wasn't going to throw his stuff out and then not replace it. And I just set him up with this whole system designed for success. Now, yeah, your refrigerator, you want to have success for your refrigerator. Now, best thing to do is actually wash your food before it goes in the refrigerator. Why are you going to put dirty produce into a clean refrigerator? If you do that, your brain is going to be saying, oh, I don't want to mess with it. I got to wash it. I got to cut it. I got to prep it. I got to clean it. Ooh, wait, I got potato chips. That's what your brain will do. Where at least if it's washed and cleaned and hopefully prepped, then your brain is saying, fast food. I can just grab and go. Now, I have used trays in the past to put these items here. And you can do trays, but I kind of like the tubs. I think you're going to have a lot of success with tubs because you don't have things falling all over the place. Now, inside these tubs, let's see, I've got some cilantro right here because I'm going to use some cilantro. But I have all these ingredients that are already cut up and prepped and ready to eat. I've got cauliflower here. Here's some celery and carrots, which is in water. Keep your celery and carrots in water and just change this water out about every 3 or 4 days, and it'll last for weeks. But you got to have it in water. You can do these smaller Tupperwares. I've got peppers and zucchini and squash. I've got some radishes, which I put those in the water too. Some onions. And you can dice these. I've got cucumbers here. You can slice them. You can do different varieties of textures when it comes to different cuts and everything. Broccoli in here. Now, as far as containers go, and this is nice because you got tubs, you can just kind of put different things in it. Like, oh, I got some ginger there. I'm going to use that today. And these, find the ones, you know, measure out your... I think every refrigerator should have these. You know, not just... What? Yeah, not just the trays that are locked in and you got to kind of twist them and stuff. These are really nice to just pull them out. And, I mean, I can make a salad in 30 seconds flat. I do like containers like this, and I would just leave it in the container. And you can wash these and rinse them and just put it right back and throw it right back in your thing and leave it in the container. Those containers are designed to give food a longer shelf life. Even raspberries and grapes, they have the holes in them. You rinse them off and just leave it right in the container. So that works really good. Now, as far as containers go, of course, we've got some bigger containers, get different sizes. If you can find ones with the same lids, that works really good, so you're not searching for lids all the time. Sometimes you can get different sizes with the same lid, which works really good. Now, I like these type two that have a twist top, because the twist top, like I've got olives in here, you're not going to have to worry about spilling it. That's water on the outside. As much as when they're just snap lids. Snap lids aren't quite the quality that you want. So those work really good. And I love the glass ones too. And when you're looking for these lids, try to find the lids that are flexible, that have some flexibility to it. If you get those harder lids, they crack. They're just going to break. And these will too over time, but they're just a lot better. If you get a little more rubbery, you're going to get a lot more miles out of it. And this is on a glass one. You know, and they're relatively inexpensive. These are going to last years longer than the rest of these will. So that's a really good way to go. All right, let's see what we got here. We're going to get this stirred up here a little bit, get all those flavors mixing around. And there we go. Now, the other thing I do, too, is I make sure that I've got my, what should I do today? I got so many things going on here, I don't know where to start. Let's start with the special here, and you're going to have to write down this recipe because I just invented it. I've actually done this at quite a few locations. I just have not put it on a actual recipe. We recorded it. It's still in the editing stages, so by this fall, I'll have the edited video with the recipe and everything with it. I want to show you how to make this avocado pesto. Avocado pesto. And this is one that I made. I just invented it on the fly, and then it took me a couple times to perfect it. And everybody that tastes this, they can't believe it. They're like, you gotta be kidding me. And it's just that good. So what we're going to do here, I've got a few ingredients and I want to share these with you. We're going to start out with some tofu here. And I'm just going to go right here so I don't make a mess. Phew. Okay. Tofu. We'll put a block of tofu. You can use firm or extra firm, either one. You can probably use any type of tofu you want for that part. Avocados, we're going to drop in a couple avocados here, and I like taking those pits out just like that, and boom, just pops out nice and easy, and count it, and I need a spoon to get these out of here, so we'll put a couple avocados in here. Nice part is this does not have to be exact. You know, if you've noticed, I teach a lot of concepts. I show you how to do recipes without having a recipe. And once you learn the concept, then you can run with 100 different variations of it. So that's the really good way to go. And we're going to get one more avocado. So we got two full avocados in there. I've got the one thing of tofu in there. And now we need a couple more ingredients. Garlic works. So here's your garlic. Oh, I measure everything precisely. That's right. Salt. Nutritional yeast flakes right here, and you can go pretty heavy on the nutritional yeast flakes. And so that's pretty easy on those ingredients, isn't it? And then a little almond milk in there. And I'm just going to take this and go right to a level, so it's about level. I think we'll go there and try it. I might need to add a little bit more to that, but we'll see how it's blending here first. I don't want it too thin, so. And this is where you gotta eyeball it, but you'll get it right. I do let this blend for a pretty good distance because it's gets it creamy. And we're just going to pour this right in here. Normally, I would heat this up. Okay, I would heat it up. But I've got some in here that's already hot. So we just stir this in, and it's just going to be hot just like that anyway. This is now avocado pesto. One other thing you could add to it, I didn't do it today, because a lot of people are allergic to nuts and stuff, but you could put nuts in here, like some walnuts, and don't blend it completely. Let it get that texture. You know, some pestos have kind of a gritty texture to it from the pine nuts. So you could do that and get it kind of a more textured type of thing. But I'm having mine be really smooth today. So just like that, avocado pesto. You got the ingredients? Easy one. Really easy. I mean, that's too easy. Right here, I'm going to start by making some taco burgers. Now, taco burgers, for my base, I'm just going to use some refried beans. Boom. That worked pretty good. And we'll get a spoon in here. Get this baby stirring up before I burn the bottom. And then from here, we're going to decide what we want to put in there. I mean, taco burgers really, to me, says pinto beans. So we can put the pinto beans in here. We just throw some pinto beans. We've got all our baggies of cooked everything here. If you want to make it more gritty like a taco burger, you could add some of this whole grain here, the bulgur wheat. If you wanted to do a little bit of color, kind of give it a little bit of a two-color, put some black beans in there. Okay, so now we have our texture, and now all we have to do is look for flavor. Flavor-wise, if you're going to do Mexican, chili powder, cumin, and salt. So here we go. I'm going to put some cumin in there. I don't have to get too carried away with this either. I really don't. You can just go very light on this. It's not going to take a lot. Chili powder, cumin, and salt. Usually the beans have a little bit of salt in there, so you really usually don't have to put hardly any salt in this particular one. Okay, now that's all you really need for a taco burger. You could actually take this and run with it now in 100 different directions, just because if you like jalapeno, I would actually put some onions in here. In fact, if you wanted, we could add some onions to it. I'm going to add just a little bit of water just to get that bottom working. Sometimes you just add a few drops of water, get that bottom circulating. Because now you're looking, you don't want something that thick. And but as it heats up, it's going to thin down. So if you put too much water in right away, then a few minutes later you're like, oh, well, we got it too thin. So just put a little bit in at a time until you figure out what your texture is going to be about. But I think that works pretty good right there. And we're just going to set this one aside. And in fact, let me share with you a good one here. I'm going to share with you a good one here. We're going to show you how to do some toasted bread. You know, because everybody's doing this bread with the oil, right? They got to put their oil and smother it with butter and things like that. I'm going to cut this piece of bread right in half. Now, here's the trick. Don't use too much water, but we're actually going to use water in bread. And I know people are like, that's crazy. Oops, that might be too much. So that's good. As long as it's too much, I'm all right. And we're just going to get it so it's completely covering here and let that baby go. Hopefully I won't burn it. Sometimes if you can put a press on it like that, sometimes I have a plate or something, I can just do a press on it. That's always a good way to go. Oh, did I turn it on? Yeah, it's on. Okay. Now this right here, I still want it a little bit thinner. So I come back and just add a little bit more. Because we want that texture, that it gets a little smoother for taco burgers. Now you can put salsa in if you wanted. You could just add a little salsa and get some flavor and that type of thing. So, okay. Yeah, my brother's doing good. He's doing good. I did set him up with an oatmeal station. And everybody should have an oatmeal station. I mean, my oatmeal station is so fantastic. People look at it, they're like, you got to be kidding me. And I have everything you could ever imagine for an oatmeal station. And find the biggest cupboard doors you got. And on the top shelf, I've got regular oats and quick oats. I've got steel-cut oats. I've got grits and cream of wheat. I've got hard red winter wheat and brown rice in my oatmeal station because I use those for crock pots overnight. Got some homemade granolas up there. On the next shelf, I've got containers like this with raisins and craisins and cranberry, dried blueberries. I've got walnuts and pecans and, you know, just so many different fun toppings that you can, wheat germ is another one I've got up there. Flaxseed, I got the ground flaxseed, I put that everywhere. So you just kind of create this huge oatmeal station, and then that oatmeal station will be able to be used. And I think tomorrow we're actually going to do an oatmeal. I'll show you how to make oatmeal real fast and easy. Once you have your oatmeal station set up, in fact, on the bottom shelf of my oatmeal station, I've got spice jars like these. I've got apple pie spice, pumpkin pie spice, nutmeg, and allspice, and cinnamon, and things like that in my oatmeal station. And that works really good in the oatmeal station. And yeah, you can make oatmeal in 1 minute once you have your oatmeal station set up. And I got sweeteners. I've got brown sugar, which isn't exactly health food. Honey. Stevia is my favorite. I've got coconut sugar and just every type of sugar you could think of, I think. That's the easy way to do it. Stevia. Yeah, stevia. It's a little powder. You have drops or powder, or you can grow it yourself. I mean, if I were you, I'd just grow it myself, especially around here. Yeah, just dry it and blend it up. Just dry it and put it in a grinder. 16 times more powerful than sugar, so it's really, really amazing. If you use too much, it's going to taste bitter and you won't be happy with it. So you want to make sure that you get it at the right temperature kind of thing. Okay, so if I'm going to do a taco burger here, I've got little plates. This is weird. I need some big plates. I don't think I have any today, do I? I think I forgot my big plates. All right, well, that's going to be a real challenge today then. We improvise, overcome, and adapt. Anyway, this is cooking. I'm going to shut this off right now. That's ready to go. But here's your taco burger. If you can see this toasted bun, I don't know how close up you can get, but it's got some toastiness to it. And that's what you're looking for, is to get that crispness. And just by water. And it's not soggy, nothing. It's just the water toasts it. You don't need to put a bunch of oil on it. And so just like that, boom, you got your taco burgers. So that's easy enough. I think everybody can handle that one, huh? And like I said, you can put whatever you want in here. Mostly, we're just focusing on flavor. This is the kind of flavor we want. And so I'm just going to put this out here so it's good to go. And you can make it thicker, thinner. You can use different types of things. Okay. So I should do another one. Here, let me do another one here real quick. That was fun. I want to see if it'll turn out better. Boom, water. And I think I have time. Maybe. Okay. Turn this on. And get my press back in here. My homemade press. That's what that is. And then right here, let's go ahead and do a different type of burger. We did a taco, so now we can probably try, Sloppy Joe, or maybe Italian. Sloppy Joe. So you can take some onions if you want, and we'll get these sauteed up. Actually, I like the white onions. When you're cooking like taco burgers and Italian burgers and stuff, white onions hold together better than other onions. So especially for Mexican cooking, you're always going to find white onions because they just hold together better. We can do a water saute on this one, though. We'll just put some water in here, get that baby going. Okay, and then I got this going. That's going, and let me see if we got enough water in here. Okay, so we've got our cabbage cooked up down here. Does need just a little bit more water, though. So the only thing we need there is potatoes. Oh, right. Thank you. Man, ask and ye shall receive. Much appreciated. I'll take some red potatoes here. You can take any kind of potatoes you want. Whoop, get back here. These were refrigerated, not frozen. These are the ones I cooked yesterday and threw them in the refrigerator. So we'll go right like that. Trying to let the bottom stick. If you can let the bottom stick on that, you're going to be a lot better off. So we're going to go ahead and put the potatoes in here. Okay, there we go. And give this one a stir. Oh, I got my spoon there already. Okay. And I'm going to shut this off because I think that's about ready. Multitasking here. And there we go. Let that baby crank on. Is that on? Is that on? That one's on? Yeah? Okay, I got my keepers of the flame right here. Woo! Okay, see how it's toasted? Isn't that something? Yeah, you can just toast it just like that. And no, and it's, oh, it's just wonderful. Just wonderful. Okay, so I'm going to set this one aside. Ah, I got plates. Woo-hoo! Yay. We'll put this right here for now. And put this here. Put this here. Get back here. Multitasking with so many things to do today. Okay, so what were you doing here? You want Sloppy Joe's. Oh, okay. Sloppy Joe is going to be tomato sauce. Whoops, I got to open the can first here. Sloppy Joe's going to be tomato sauce, garlic and onion. So, and you can do one part garlic, two parts onion. And what's the secret ingredient for Sloppy Joe's? Anybody know? Huh? Brown sugar. What did he say? Meat. Oh, yeah. Well, I got a substitute for that though. But that's your secret ingredients for Sloppy Joe's. And so we're just going to let this reduce a little bit here, and then I'm going to get the brown sugar. Yeah, that's your official ingredient for Sloppy Joe's. If you wanted, I mean, I got barbecue sauce here. You can just put barbecue sauce in there or add a little bit to it. Where's my barbecue sauce? Here. And I got this barbecue sauce over at Wally World. And Sticky Fingers. Anybody ever seen this brand before? This one I've been using for quite a few years because it was down in Florida. And it doesn't have the high fructose corn syrup in it. They don't even advertise it that way, which I'm surprised. They probably don't know, you know, nutrition and stuff. But yeah, that's one of the few ones I can find anywhere that does not have the high fructose corn syrup anymore. And it's really good. So yeah, it's a really good one. Okay, that's all heated up. Now, for Sloppy Joe's, let's go ahead and definitely hit it with the bulgur wheat. I think that's going to be your key ingredient right here for Sloppy Joe's to give it that texture so it actually looks like a Sloppy Joe. So we'll just keep this simmering for a little while here, and then that'll be good to go. Right here, we've got our potatoes. This was Irish potatoes. Remember the Irish potatoes? I'm sorry, what? Nobody? Okay. Irish potatoes. And I'll tell you what, you have all the flavor of Irish just by putting the cabbage. And I've done this at quite a few different events with these Irish potatoes, and people absolutely love them. I mean, they are so good. Okay. Huh? I haven't yet. I might. I use a little bit. I'm not, you know, anti-oil. I know you need good fats and bad fats. Tomorrow's the big day. I'm going to actually talk about fats. And this can shut off. This is good to go. Let's do one more thing here. We got time. I'm going to see if we can get time. I'll do some more cabbage and show you. This would be, what would you do? We've got Italian, but I want to do a German potato salad. So German potato salad, you got your cabbage in here. You can do some sliced onion. Now I have to think, though. German potato salad. Let me think. German potato salad. So we could do that, and of course the garlic and onion. That's like a standard for everything, I think, nowadays. Okay. And that should work for now. I'm going to kick it up a notch here in just a minute, but I just want to get this circulated. Okay, this still has some reducing to do. See how soggy it is? So we just need to get some reduction on this, and then that'll be ready to go. Now, I didn't tell you about my other brother, Wayne, too. My brother, Wayne, he weighs 400 pounds. He owns a cattle farm up in Wyoming, so he's not that interested in getting healthy. My wife and I went to go see him, and he's got this feed truck. And he takes the feed truck out past his house, and all the cows come running over, you know, they hear that feed truck. And my wife and I, we're like jumping back from these big animals, you know. But my brother Wayne, he's so bold, he goes and gives those cows a big hug. He's like, "Hey, little cow, how you doing?" And scratches their ears and talks to them like they're family and pets them and everything. And then he decides which one he wants to eat. You know, that's my brother Wayne for you. Yeah, he owns an assisted living facility there too, and chops them up for the seniors over there. Now, he did call me not too long ago, though, and he said, "Mark, we've been eating veggie burgers for the last few weeks." And I thought, cool, you know, maybe he saw me lose, you know, 65 pounds. He sees my brother Paul lose 100. My sister in Arizona's getting healthy. She's lost quite a bit of weight, and I thought maybe Wayne's going to get healthy. He's eating veggie burgers. And then he said, "My other cow, I named him Black Bean." He said, "Next month we're having black bean burgers and black bean steaks." I was like, "No, that doesn't count." Yeah, he's something else, all right. Okay, now I could probably do an Italian burger here. I feel like doing an Italian burger because that's a whole different type of burger. So let me get that going here real quick. So if we went here, and I'll chop up some onions for it. We'll get some onion. Yeah, why not, for an Italian burger. I'll try to touch base on that in just a bit. I got some diced up bell pepper, so I can put some bell pepper in there too. And put some water in here. And we'll just get that going. This thing is almost reduced to where I want it to be. And our jackfruit right here is ready to go. So I'm going to just get some of this jackfruit out of here. I'll get it all out of here. We'll do it the easy way. Now, I'm not going to use all of this jackfruit today. I'm saving a half of it for another program and showing you what else we can do with it other than just barbecue sandwiches. But let me let that just rest there a minute. See how this is thickening up? Almost there. See, it's almost where it's a sloppy Joe. It still needs to hold together just a little bit better. And that's where you just be patient with it. Oh, you can. I've got paste right here. Yeah, in fact, if you want to thicken up, good idea. You want to get it thickened up quicker? Just put some paste in there. One thing I normally do is if I'm going to use paste, I would actually put the paste in first. So don't tell anybody I did this. They'll be like, I'll get all the emails. But if you brown the paste, it keeps it from tasting tomato-y. So, brown the paste. Okay, another thing I got to do real quick here, though. I've got to get on this real quick. That's working good, though. Now it's really thickening up and getting saucy. I've got to make some cornstarch. So let me do this real quick here. Cornstarch and water. Cornstarch, water. I'm going to show you the secret to cornstarch and water. What you do is you take cornstarch and water, and this you can use as a thickener. I know, I bet y'all knew that one, didn't you? Okay. But what you might not have known is that you want to take the cornstarch, give it a mix, set it aside for 5 minutes, and then come back and stir it again. How many of you knew that? All right. Yeah, because that's what eliminates that starchy flavor. If you just mix it and put it right in, you get a starch flavor. And the old boxes years ago used to have those instructions right on. I don't think the new ones do. But if you just let that rest and then come back, it'll settle to the bottom, and then you remix it, and then you're good to go. So, well, that looks like a sloppy Joe. Okay. This looks like our... Oh, the other thing I'm missing in here, though, if we're going to do German potato salad, you put a little bit of vinegar in there, and then you want some sweetener. You could use sugar or just put a shot of honey in there if you want. Just needs a little bit of sweetener to smoothen it out, and we'll get that baby going like that. Okay. Yeah, so baby steps 4, 5, and 6, get your kitchen designed for success. And that will help you so much. Boom, just like that, you got your Sloppy Joe style burger. And let me just get a bowl here, and I'll top this off. There we go. This is just a lot of cooking I've got going on. Multitasking for sure today. All right, so I've got the peppers and onions kind of cooked off and got those broken down. Italian burgers, you can do some diced tomatoes. I've got canned, you can do fresh, whatever you want to do. Let's go ahead and put some of that in there. Italian burgers, I really like to go with the red beans. If you want to mash these up a little bit, kidney beans, yeah. You can mash these up a little bit. That's going to help give it your little thickening agent there. So we'll just do that. And, of course, flavoring would definitely be Italian seasoning. So you've got your thyme, oregano, and basil. So what you do when you're thinking about cooking something, you're kind of going in reverse. You're looking at what's the finished product? What is the finished product that I want to produce? And then you go through the steps. How do I get there? And so that's what you do. You got your steps, and now let's figure out how to get there. And let me give this a stir. This is one that I should use some paste with for sure. In fact, we're going to hit that right now while I'm thinking about it. And I can let this one slow cook for a while, too. Whoop, whoop. Well, I can even smell this one already. So we'll let that go. Okay, now that this is boiling up, I'm going to do a couple things here real quick. We'll get some potatoes chopped up here. Probably just use one. And... what I want to do here, real quick, we're going to get this saucy, okay? Right now it's watery because it's water. And if you add, I can see it's all thick on the bottom, and we're going to stir this a little bit. Just add a little bit of cornstarch in it. Now it's more saucy. And I think I'm going to add just a little bit of water. That's the nice part about being able to adjust as you do things. Just add a couple drops of water here. Okay, just like that. Now we can add the potatoes to it. I think one's enough. We'll just do one here and show you what I'm doing. Potatoes. Cabbage, onion, and what this would end up being is a German potato salad. Of course, now German potato salad, what you would want to do is put this in a pan and then throw it in the oven. So I'm just going to put it right here for now. You'll get the idea. You can see how saucy it is. It's really glazy and glistening because you thickened up that cornstarch. So there you go, German potato salad, just like that. Woo! Okay. Multitasking here. Let me get another burger bun since I'm right here. I knew this was going to be a workout for me today. Yeah. But I'm just trying to show you that if you really go to town with all these healthy foods and they're all ready to go, look how fast it is. Look how, see how it's thickening up already? How fast it is to get flavor. That's the whole trick, is how do you get flavor? You know, and once you have your kitchen designed for success, getting flavor is relatively easy. Let's see, I didn't use that pan, did I? Yeah, no, right here. Okay. I want to get this toasting up a little bit. This is pretty much good to go, but I'm going to let that simmer. All right, here's another thing you can do. Tabbouleh. Okay, if we're going to do tabbouleh, what's your key ingredients for tabbouleh? Maybe you can help me out with this one. Parsley. Okay. I've got my key ingredients as being bulgur wheat. And this is where you can really kick it up a notch by adding some of this kamut in it. That's where people are like, whoa, how did you make that? Here, I'll just do it all. Kamut, it's a whole grain, K-A-M-U-T. It's like an original ancient grain. So you'll love it. I mean, you will absolutely love it. Now, I want to make sure I'm not burning anything. That's off. This is on low. That's feeling pretty good. I think I'll shut that off, though. And this one's just simmering. It's off. Let me just turn it on for just a little bit longer here. It still needs a little bit of work to do. And I got to taste this one just because it's, I think I need salt in it. I do. I knew I forgot it. I'm okay with salt. The other one, Celtic salt. We were talking about it yesterday and I didn't come up with the other salt. Celtic salt. That's what my wife and I have upstairs all the time. Okay, so nice part is if you've got your setup over here, boom, bell peppers. We're making tabbouleh right here. Bell peppers. Let me use the red onion here. But my red onions, I keep these sliced. So they're sliced, okay? And then if I need them for sliced, I got them for sliced. If I need them whole or something like that, I'm going to just keep on. I can chop them up a little bit if I need to. Not a big issue. My wife hates onions. So you'll see sometimes a lot of my cooking shows, I don't have onions in it just because I'm cooking it for her. Two, test one, two, and we're on. There we go. Thank you, thank you. That was easy. Woohoo! Okay. Now, what are we looking for ingredients? I've got, cucumbers. If you got cucumbers here. Yeah, and I got diced cucumbers, so that's perfect. Cucumbers, just like that. There we go. So how's that look? But you're right, we do need some more flavor. I mean, that's pretty much got your ingredients, right? Your peppers, your onions, your cucumbers. That's about the key ingredients that I really like to have in a tabbouleh. But that's not flavor. I mean, it's got some flavor, but we definitely need the real flavor. My hands are too wet. I can't do that right now. So we're just going to come over here and see if we can get some lemon. Lemon is like a secret ingredient for tabbouleh. That's kind of my favorite of anything. And get that stirred in. And my other one is my cilantro over here. I think cilantro is what really makes tabbouleh. And put that in there. Woo! Salt, I know I'm going to hit salt. I know you guys are thinking I'm kind of crazy on salt, but I know things need salt. Lemon is actually a salt substitute, though. When you got the lemon in there, you don't need a lot of salt. But there's a lot of people out there that they go on this health kick and they end up with a salt deficiency because they're not getting enough salt. So if you have problems with salt, you'll have to lighten up. But There you go. It looks like tabbouleh, right? So, but this one has a different texture with that other kamut, whole grain in there. Okay, let's see. Now here, one thing about this too. See how that sticks? I just want to point that out. This is why I've got a paddle up here and I've been scraping underneath, because you want to scrape underneath it so you can get the hole. Otherwise, you'll get that stick on the bottom. And in fact, this one I missed a little bit, so you can see where it's stuck on the bottom. Right, so that's why I've been using a spatula to go in there and get that. And just like that, Italian burger. So, I mean, we've got Italian. Oh, we didn't do the barbecue here. Let me do the barbecue right here. This is going to be hot, so it'll be dangerous. Okay. You've all used the jackfruit? Nobody. Not many. Jackfruit is great. Well, it comes in great big fruits that are like, I mean, just massive sizes. Yes, the jackfruit that I'm using is in a brine. There's another jackfruit that's in a syrup. It's more of a dessert jackfruit. And it's really inexpensive. We get it at the Asian food stores. But can you see how strands, you see all the strands in this? So you can pick it by hand like this. I'm actually going to, let me just chop it over here. I'll do it the easy way. Let me get about this much. I'm going to save the rest for I think it's Thursday, because I've got a real good secret I'm going to share with you on Thursday with that one. But you can just chop it up like this. This is going to end up being a barbecue pork sandwich. I mean, literally, this is amazing, because one thing about this jackfruit, you're going to see these little knuckles in here. I leave those in there. That's actually the seed. Okay, that's the little seeds that are in there. I leave those in there. And because it makes it look like the cartilage. If you've ever done barbecue pork sandwiches, it's got that little cartilage in there. So that's why I leave that in there. People, when I started doing this, I don't know, a good 10 years ago, and people are like, you got to be kidding me. This is a barbecue sandwich. And they really thought it was real. I've shared it with a lot of vegan restaurants over the years and things like that. So I'm just going to throw this in here just to heat it up. Dry. We'll do that dry. Okay. So I think you can see how many different flavors you have out there. I mean, massive amounts of flavor. And you can really get tons of flavor from these foods that we prepared yesterday just by having your kitchen designed for success. And okay, we're going to let that go right there. Salad-wise, let me share with you some salad here real quick. And has anybody ever had wilted salad? You know how you get in the fridge and it's all wilty? All right, I got the secret for you. I got the secret for you how to get it so it's crisp again. You ever see it where it's, I mean, it's just so wilty, right? Well, the easy way to solve that is by... A lot of people would put it in cold water, right? Don't do that. You want to put the lettuce in warm water. Yes. Put it in, I didn't have any wilted or I would have done it today. You put the lettuce in warm water. And after the lettuce has sucked up the warm water for a while, then you shock it in ice water. See, lettuce is kind of like the blood vessels on a human. And if you put cold water, if you put it in cold water, it's just going to close up. It's just shrinking. Where if you put it in warmer water, then it expands. So it's allowed to absorb the water into the lettuce. And then after it absorbs the water into the lettuce, then you shock it in the cold water and it closes it up and keeps the water inside the lettuce. So that's the secret. Now, do y'all know why you're not supposed to use a knife when you're cutting lettuce like I am? Turns brown. Okay, well, Right. It'll last longer. Yeah. So there's a salad. Now, it does make it easy. How come this isn't going? See, I knew that was off, just that easy. I said, well, how come that one's not going? I listen when I'm on the kitchen. I'm listening for my food to be cooking as well. And I heard that it wasn't cooking. I'm going to shut this one off. I hear things, yeah. I can hear things in a fryer. I can hear things in the oven. It's just my ears are in tune like that. Okay, lettuce. If you cut the lettuce, what's happening is you're cutting in between the cells. Here's the cell. You're cutting right down the middle of the cell, and it turns brown. Where if you tear the lettuce, the cells stay intact. They kind of rip apart at their natural spots, so you don't get the browning like you do if you cut it. Now, certain lettuces are more durable to being cut. Iceberg is, you cut that, it turns brown a lot quicker than romaine. So it depends on what your lettuce is as to whether or not you want to be cutting it or not, and depending how fast you're going to use it, that's the other issue. So you just got to kind of play it by ear on that one. I really like to have lettuce that I don't have to worry about. It's just more durable. Iceberg lettuce, what's the myth? No nutritional value whatsoever. That's not true. Iceberg has lots of nutrients. It has different nutrients than other lettuce. Still got fiber. It's still got lots of nutrients. So, yeah, don't fall into that myth. Iceberg used to be the gourmet. That was the gourmet of all gourmets. And you wanted a good... I got time. Let me do this. I'm going to do a... I haven't done an Asian one yet, so I'm going to do some Asian chickpeas. We'll get some chickpeas going here. I like variety. I want to get as much variety as I possibly can. I'm not going to get narrow-minded into staying away from something. Iceberg has, is it folate? Y'all remember what that is? It actually has specific nutrients that prevent heart disease, or prevents folate. Yeah, prevents birth defects. Iceberg. Yeah, fiber, huge source of calories is actually protein and carbs. Aids in weight loss. It's only 75 calories per head, so that's pretty good. All right, nice part about salads. Here, look at this. You want a salad? Okay, you got a salad, and I'm gonna just go ahead. And you can throw whatever you want in your salad. You know, you want some broccoli, because everything's already cut up here, see? And that's the nice part. When you've got your salad all cut up, you can kind of just put whatever you want in there. I'll do some tomatoes here. Boom, like that. And now let's say... You've got your refrigerator set up, you got your freezer set up, and I'm showing you how fast it is, boom, 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 boom. What's going to happen when you get to the end of the week and your food starts to kind of weather in the refrigerator? You know how it starts basically decomposing, for lack of a better word? What you want to do when you get down, we usually set up our fridge once a week, and we know what we're going to go through. And at the end of the week, we just throw the last of what we're going to use into a salad. And if you don't want to do that, you can always cook. So there's two things to do with leftovers here, is you either cook them, so you break them down completely. That will give you a longer shelf life, okay, for the next boom, boom, boom. Or you can blend it. Just throw it with some tomatoes and, you know, make a V8 or a V12. I guess this would be a V12 over here. That's how you would do it. You just break it down completely, either by cooking it or blending it. Here's your barbecue pork sandwich, just like that. Whew, there you go, barbecue pork sandwich. Lettuce salad there. I've got some salad dressing. I can make a salad dressing for you real quick. Let me make some salad dressing real quick. First, I got to get this going, though. Got to get this. Okay, what are we doing? Indian, India, Asian. Okay, so key ingredients here, I'll just share this with you. Turmeric. You can do turmeric in here. Curry would be a good one, right? So we'll put the curry in here, and then ginger. And I've got fresh ginger here I can even use if I wanted to. I might as well, since it's right here. And just peel it off. Usually I use the back of a spoon to peel this off. Or usually I'd have it peeled off before I even get up here. Okay. And let me... just get this chopped up a little bit. And I definitely got to get some water in that because I hear it. It definitely needs more water. We're going to really water this baby down. What else do we need? Salt. And you can run with different things. If you want to put peppers in there, we can put peppers in there. You can just go to town. But I'm going to leave it like that, and we'll put it over rice. But the color works good on it, so that'll work. Yeah, let me do some red onions. That'll look good in there, too. Woo! Oh, carrots. We can even do carrots. Can you see how creative? You can really, once you know flavor, too, you can really get creative. So we're going to get that boiling, and so that's good to go. That's done. Oh, salad dressing. You want salad dressing, right? Okay. This will be fun. I'm going to do a salad dressing out of bananas. Yeah. We make salad dressing out of bananas. So we got some bananas here. Yeah, I got to do something different all the time, something that really just throws you off completely. So we're going to do some bananas and red wine vinegar. Okay, now that was not a good reaction. Okay, how about bananas and brown mustard? Oh, now you guys are really getting rough on me here. Okay, you can use lemons if you want to use lemon juice. That always works really good. Lemon juice. Secret ingredient, I can put a little shot of cumin in here. Now we're really going to get carried away. Woo! Okay, and what am I missing here? Honey. Oh, I need some honey. We're going to sweeten this up just a little bit here. Okay, but you're going to have to tell me when to say when. Okay, all right. And then you got to put a couple drops of water, not a lot, just a couple drops of water to get this thing blending. Oh, there it is. I can smell this already. Just like that, I made salad dressing out of bananas. You can have this in the fridge for weeks and it does not turn brown. Now, one thing I do is I teach concepts, okay? Woo! These ingredients is what you find in a lot of salad dressings, don't you? Exactly! So all I'm doing is using the bananas as a thickener. You can do this with any salad dressing. Take regular Italian dressing, put a banana in there, boom, you got creamy Italian. Kids don't like bananas, they'll never know they're there. So yeah, you'll love it. That's a good way to go. Okay. Now somebody mentioned they wanted me to talk a little bit about the type 2 diabetes today. I'm going to touch base on it just a little bit, but tomorrow is going to be the big type 2 diabetic thing. Type 2 diabetes is... caused by oils and fats. If you want to reverse type 2 diabetes, you got to get rid of the oils and fats. There's a book on the back of tomorrow's flyer, I think it is tomorrow, Friday, or Thursday, called Reversing Diabetes, Dr. Neil Bernard. And he shows how we have these valves all over our body. They're in our pancreas, they're in our cells, and there's a blockage. And so you need that oil and fat, or that's the blockage. So you need the insulin, which forces those doors open and close and open and close. When if you just get rid of the blockage, which is all the oils and the fats, then your body's doing the job it's supposed to be doing, and you don't need all that insulin. Even type 1 diabetics have far better success when they go without the oils and fats. Now, according to most of these doctors, it used to be we're only a few dozen doctors in the world knew this. And over the last, 20, 30 years, now there's hundreds of doctors all over this country alone that know that the oils and fats is the cause of type 2 diabetes. And the way you reverse type 2 diabetes is different than what doctors are telling you, because the doctors will say, stay away from carbs, stay away from sugars, take your drugs. They're sharing with you how to live with type 2 diabetes, not how to reverse it. And if you want to reverse type 2 diabetes, you've got to get rid of the oils and fats, and including coconut oil and olive oil. And people are like, oh, wait, that's a good fat. That's a good fat. Well, coconut oil is 12% good fat, 88% bad fat. But they did a great job of marketing. And I understand good fats. This thing's just not staying on me. I understand good fats. Okay, I know we need some good fats. But there's other ways to get it. Eat the coconut instead of the coconut oil. Eat the olive instead of the olive oil. The corn instead of the corn oil. You know, that's what we need to be eating. Avocados, really good. Uh-huh. Well, you still need, you know, your omegas and, you know, that type of thing. But really, fat and oil is 120 calories in a tablespoon with relatively no nutritional value whatsoever. You really don't need it. And nobody is going to have an oil deficiency, okay? It's just not going to happen. And the problem here, look, I'm not the food police, okay? I don't care if you want to put a little olive oil on a salad or make a little dessert with coconut oil. I mean, we do that once in a while. The problem is that we're getting massively bombarded by all these fats and oils. In fact, let me share this with you real quick here. I'll probably have to repeat some of this tomorrow, but national average here in America on fats and oils, 10.2 pounds per person per month. 10.2 pounds per person per month. That is two of those big jugs of oil that people consume every month. Over 43,000 calories a month, over 1,200 calories a day that the average person consumes, just in vegetable oil alone. See, it's the fact that we're getting massively bombarded by it. There's a book on the back of the flyer. Oh, no, you don't have that flyer. called The End of Overeating by Dr. David Kessler. Now, David Kessler was the head of the Food and Drug Administration. He found out that the manufacturers of food were hiring scientists to find out how to make their food as addictive as possible. And they found out that they can make the food so addictive, it'll actually trigger your endorphins, even if all you do is see a picture of that food a month later. He said all the fast food restaurants, even the hamburger bun alone at McDonald's is specifically designed for addiction. Even restaurants like TGI Fridays and Applebee's hire scientists to make their food addictive. And they can make this food so addictive, and then if they add chemicals, they really make it addictive. But they found out that there's an exact combination of sugar, oil, and salt. And if you get that exact combination of sugar, oil, and salt on any product, it triggers your endorphins. So that's why we're getting bombarded by all these oils. They're adding it everywhere, and so we're really getting a massive amount of oil. Okay, I'm just adding some of that cornstarch here to thicken it up a little bit, and because I want to give this a little bit of body, but I added too much. I'm going to have to thin it down. That's the nice part about doing it this way, because I can really get it where I want it. So, yeah, watch out for those triggers of sugar, oil, and salt. That's where you get the addiction. And, in fact, there's new labels. I'm going to go over labels tomorrow and show you why we're getting massively bombarded by all these fats and oils, because they're changing all the labels on us and not telling us about it. So that's all in tomorrow's event. Boom, just like that. You got an Asian chickpea. You can smell that, huh? The aromatherapy, yeah. And what you could do, really with this one, I would, let me use a big bowl here, I guess. And I would do like rice bowls where you can take some of this rice and you could heat this up. That would really be a good idea. But for time's sake, I'm just going to put this right over. It's going to heat it up so fast you won't believe it. Okay. So just like that. Oh, you can just saute it. Just put a little steam on it and you're good to go. Now wait. I can do one other thing here. Just since it's a little Asian here. Get some green onions on it. Okay, now it's gourmet. Yeah, you can get fancy. You can get crazy with things if you want. But really, I try to show you just the simple things. And that's all I did today. That's all I did was give you the basics on how you can take all these healthy carbs and turn them into any flavor in the world. And this is why I created this book, this Simply Incredible Flavor book. 440 pages, full color. I got 6 doctors' recommendations on this book already. But this book is different than any other book you've ever seen. First of all, it shows you all your taste buds and all your senses, which I went from 5 taste buds to 7. Yeah, I invented 2 new taste buds. The scientists will catch up with me eventually. God's perfect number, 7. And there's 7 senses, too. And then I go through all your spices, every spice is in here, and I show you what it's good for, what it's better for, and what it's best for. Then I took all your healthy, there's some chef secrets in here too, but then I took all your healthy carbs, and I show you lentils, beans, black beans, kidney beans, garbanzo beans, every particular bean, and I show you exactly what foods and spices go good with that bean, what goes better with that bean, and what goes best with that bean. And then I have Simply Incredible pairings, so if you add 3 or 4 items. So this is a whole different way of thinking. You know how most people, you go in the cupboard, you see what you got, well, how do you flavor it? And then you go to your flavor. And not only did I do that with all the healthy foods that I'm preparing here, I also did it with all the nationalities around the world. You got Chinese and Japanese and Thai food and America, of course, we've got Southwest, Southern, Cajun, Native American, Hawaiian, and you just go to that section and it'll show you exactly what foods and spices you need to get good flavor, better, and best for that particular cuisine. So it's a whole different way of thinking. Where most books end up in a cupboard on a shelf or something, this is one that you'll use every day as a resource, and that's why we built it that way. So, all right. Oh, wait, we were going to do a drawing too. Let's have a drawing. We got to have a drawing today. And then we're going to have a buffet line coming through here. Everybody's going to get a piece of bread on here and some of this avocado sauce. But then if you got room, you might want to hit some of this. If it's there's still things here, you can go for it. I got salad and salad dressing here. Let me do one more thing here, though. And I've got a ranch. Yeah, that mayonnaise, I did a ranch right here too. So we've got that. Okay. And what did I got here? Here's a couple of my testimony books. I got 4 drawings. My testimony book, Sin City to Simplicity. I got 2 of those. So, and I got 2 more coming. Tammy McCribby. Yeah, social security number 113-4258, okay. And then Donna Dodge. Oh, I don't have to move from the front row. You're next. Donna Schrank? Shank? Okay, not going far. That's my DVD, The Cutting Edge.
One more.
And the last one. Michael Knock, K-O-C-H, Notch. Huh? Okay. There we go. And I think that's about it for today. I've got some other quotes and some other books I want to share with you tomorrow. But I just want to share with you how easy. We've got Italian, we've got German, we've got barbecue, we've got Tex-Mex, we've got barbecue, sort of. That that one was Italian right here. You got your pork sandwiches, you got your Asian, you got your tabbouleh, India, you got your salad, and this is my avocado pesto. So, woo, that was a workout. Now, tomorrow I'm going to get into more of the, some of the science and the things about type 2 diabetes, and I've got a little bit to share with you about some of the things that have happened around the country, because I really want to share with you how this health message transforms people's lives. Let me tell you, I am so thankful that God changed my life. And I want to share with you some of the miracles tomorrow that have happened around the country. And you're going to be absolutely amazed at how the health message has changed people's lives. So, amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. We thank you for the joy of bringing us together. Ask those blessings over the food that you have provided for us, that it will nourish us and strengthen us and keep us healthy so that we can continue to serve you in a mighty, mighty way. In Jesus' name, amen.